This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Donald Trump, during a rambling 80-minute campaign speech for a fellow Republican last Friday, decided to blow up the controversy of NFL players refusing to stand during the national anthem in a trend that began last year with Colin Kaepernick. Trump said, quote, "Wouldn't you love to see one of these NFL owners, when somebody disrespects our flag, to say, quote, get that son of a bitch off the field right now. He's fired. He's fired." Trump then followed his tirade with a series of tweets that continued through Monday morning. But many Americans, including some NFL officials and players, weren't having it. On Sunday, several teams simply didn't show up for the national anthem, and among those who did, many took to their knees instead of standing. The protest, which Trump seems to have spread further with his rhetoric, even crossed over from the NFL to basketball and other sports, with two greats, LeBron James and Stephen Curry, denouncing Trump's words. My guest is Courtney Morris, assistant professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University and a news correspondent for our show. Welcome back to the program, Courtney.
Thank you, Sonali.
So we had talked when Colin Kaepernick first started this protest that began a year ago and was motivated, we found out, by what he saw as police violence against African Americans and a lack of accountability, the criminal justice system failing. Basically, he was joining the Black Lives Matter protests and this movement around the country by refusing to stand during the national anthem. And that was a scandal last year. It seems as though Trump just decided out of the blue, well, not necessarily out of the blue because other players were continuing that protest, but he decided to make this a huge controversy by making his random remarks at his rambling speech on Friday. Why do you think he did this?
I mean, it's always kind of hard to know why 45 seems to do anything these days. Certainly one would imagine that he has more important things to be worrying about, particularly the sort of diplomatic disaster that's unfolding with North Korea, dealing with the, whether or not he's going to be able to push through his healthcare agenda. I mean, there are, whether he's actually going to be able to get the funding and the support to build his so-called border wall. There are other things that seem to me to be significantly more important than whether or not professional athletes decide they want to stand for the national anthem or not, which they are well within their rights to do as citizens and as workers. So it's really hard to imagine exactly what it is that he hoped to accomplish other than, creating a distraction for being able, trying to divert attention away from the ongoing failures of his administration and stirring up his base against people who they perceive as folks who hate America and want to destroy the things that they hold dear. And this is a common tactic that he's used throughout his campaign to great, throughout the presidential campaign and now throughout his administration to great success. These are the sorts of things that really inflame his base and strengthen his support among the base. So it's, I'm not sure exactly what he thought he was going to accomplish saying these things, but certainly it resonates with the people who support him and share those political positions.
Now, one of the things that has apparently happened since the protest that Kaepernick began last year spread is that NFL games ratings have gone down. As far as you know, have they gone down because of the protests or have they gone down for other reasons?
Honestly, it's not entirely clear to me what the relationship is between the protests and the diminished ratings of the NFL. I mean, I think that there are probably a combination of factors involved. Certainly, all the debates that we're hearing now, which President Trump spoke mockingly of, concerns about the physical dangers that football as a sport poses to the health of its athletes, I think is something that probably is a source of concern for people who have long been fans of the sport. But it seems kind of spurious to just assume that the diminished ratings are necessarily the direct result of people deciding to participate in these protests in this way. It's not clear to me that there's enough to substantiate that claim.
I suppose we shouldn't at all be surprised that this is the position that Trump took. It's surprising that a president would get into the middle of such a controversial and divisive issue. But when we consider that president in question is Trump, this is very consistent with all the positions he has taken since his campaign began for the election, right? This shouldn't surprise us.
No, I mean, not at all. I mean, Donald Trump is someone who came into power riding on a narrative that the United States that everything that makes the United States what it is, everything that makes America great, is being destroyed by people who don't believe in the sort of validity of the idea of the American dream. And so, you know, he's very hostile to, he's been explicitly hostile to Black Lives Matter protesters. He's dismissive of the idea that police departments routinely engage in, forms that they, that police officers routinely brutalize Black and brown people in custody. He's very hostile to the idea that there are, you know, that there is such a thing as structural or institutional racism. People who don't succeed because they don't work hard and they don't want it enough. And so, you know, in Donald Trump's world, and I think in the world of people who support him, the things that he said really resonated and made a lot of sense for them, because they don't feel like these people who are protesting have a right to be protesting these things. They should be grateful that they're having an opportunity to earn millions of dollars. They should be grateful that they have millions of adoring fans who look up to them. And that they should not involve themselves in politics because they're getting out of their lane. So, you know, again, I think that this is a message that really resonates very strongly with his base. And he knows that, which is why he comes back to these themes and these complaints again and again and again when he speaks in public.
How important is the historical context and also the sort of current demographic context of the NFL? A majority of NFL players are Black, and this is a league that historically kept African-American players out or kept them from rising within the ranks for much longer than other sports did, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, one of the things that most Americans may not really understand is that sports have always been political. They've always been an arena, particularly in the context of Jim Crow segregation in the United States. Sports was always seen as a really important arena for making gains around civil rights, for contesting, sort of the rule of segregation, de jure as well as de facto segregation. And Black athletes have, you know, historically been very savvy about using that space as a platform to speak critically about issues that they see going on in society that are not being handled well, to speak out about systematic patterns of racial discrimination and violence against Black communities. This is not new. I mean, I teach at Penn State, for example, and there's a very familiar one of the stories that we hear a lot and that our undergrads, you know, learn as soon as they arrive to campus is the slogan, "We are Penn State." There's a lot of speculation that that slogan came out of an attempt by in 1948, the football team here was integrated. They went down south to play at the University of Miami. Miami told them that they would not play the game with Penn State if they brought their Black players. And the Penn State football department refused to let their team go down to Miami and play in a segregated game. Right. So what this shows us is that whether we're talking about professional sports, whether we're talking about college sports, whether we're talking about athletes protesting at the Olympics in Mexico City in 1968, Black athletes have always used sports as a site to make critiques about the way that racism operates and to try to push for social change and justice.
The other angle to the story is the fact that the very same people, including Trump, who have been demanding that people respect the free speech rights of fascists and Nazis and all so-called alt-righters, are now suddenly forgetting that the idea of free speech actually applies across the board to everybody, right?
Well, certainly, you know, and in many ways, it's so ironic because, I mean, what could be more nonviolent, non-intrusive, it's taking a knee is the most subtle and nonviolent form of protest imaginable.
Right. He's not, the players aren't holding up signs. They're not even speaking. They're simply silently making a gesture.
Absolutely.
And if you don't like it, you can ignore it.
Citizens. They are well within their rights to do this.
Yeah. I mean, that's the whole point of a country where freedom of speech is upheld, is that you have the freedom to take unpopular positions as long as you're not calling, for inciting massive violence against somebody else. You have this right to have the free speech. And if anything, Trump is, of course, the one inciting violent moves constantly. It's just incredible. He tweeted, "Sports fans should never condone players that do not stand proud for their national anthem or their country. NFL should change policy." Now, for the president to say this, he's basically saying, you do not have the right of free speech. He's not saying, I disagree with what you're doing. He's saying, you shouldn't do this. You shouldn't have the right to do this. And if you do this, you should be fired. The president of the country is telling Americans that the right to free speech doesn't hold when it, you know, suits him.
Well, certainly. I mean, I think that this for, you know, for many of us, this is precisely what we feared with the Trump administration, is that you're dealing with a political figure who has no concept of how a democracy actually works. Trump decides, you know, that our president has basically taken the decision to try to run the country in the same way that he runs his businesses, which, if you follow his track record, is a recipe for disaster. So, you know, I think it really demonstrates in a lot of ways that, you know, part of what we're dealing with is that we're dealing with someone who doesn't understand, you know, at the same time that he's presenting himself as someone who's going to defend the American dream and who has what it takes to make America great again, he really has no understanding of what makes this democracy what it is, what makes this democracy run. And freedom of speech is absolutely at the heart of what makes us, is one of the best things that I think defines us as a nation. And he has very little respect for that.
Now, we had talked last year about Colin Kaepernick, and we should really, I think, bring up the fact that this brave player took a very important stand to raise an incredibly important central issue in our country, and now has really paid a political price for his protest, right? And he's put his money where his mouth is as well, by the way, donating many of his personal funds to a lot of important causes, and he is an unsigned player now.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, there are people who have tried to make the critique that Colin Kaepernick was, you know, that he was not signed to another team because, you know, because of his poor abilities on the field. There's very little to suggest that that's actually the case, and that in fact he was a casualty of, you know, standing up for his beliefs and doing what he thought was right at a moment when there was very little support in the league and in the broader culture for what he was doing. And so I think that he absolutely is paying the consequences of having taken that choice. And really standing alone, or as it were, kneeling alone at that time. And, you know, in a lot of ways, I think that it's, again, if we look at the history of Black athletic, you know, sort of activism among Black athletes in the United States, this is not uncommon. You know, when Tommy Smith and John Carlos took their stand in Mexico City in 1968 and stood barefoot with their fist in the air in solidarity with Black and brown people and third world people struggling for liberation all over the world, after they got off of the award stand, they were escorted out of the Olympic Village. They were kicked out. They were sent back home. They were stripped of their medals and were basically sent home in disgrace. Now we look at them as heroes. You know, we honor their struggle. We get posters of them. People wear T-shirts with their faces on them. But at the time, there was very little respect for the principled position that they had taken, not just as Black people, but as American citizens, saying to the rest of the world, we want to support the creation of a better society. We want to see a better country. And that's why we're protesting, because the only way that change happens is through struggle. Mm-hmm. And they paid a very steep price for that. So in many ways, you know, Colin Kaepernick, I see him as part of this longer tradition of Black athletes who have taken those principled positions and have not, and by his own admission, he said that he was prepared to pay the consequences for his actions. And, you know, and he has stood by that. So I think that there are so many people who are supporting him now, but absolutely he paid a serious professional price for that position.
Right. And, you know, it's one thing for an athlete to protest something that might be happening to him or her personally, or happening to the game or the industry or something within the sports arena. But another thing to also sort of make a statement about broader civic issues, about national political issues, because they hold that national stage, because they can actually make a statement through their position and all of their, you know, influencing their fans. That's a really brave, it's a much braver thing to do, to call out racism as a whole. And I also want to ask you, Courtney, to comment about the fact that it seems as though Trump might have inadvertently spread the protests. So we're seeing these like dueling Twitter wars where Trump is tweeting with the hashtag stand for our anthem and boycott NFL. But on Sunday, when a number of games took place, the hashtag take a knee spread. And it seems as though the number of players who either got down on their knees during the anthem or simply boycotted the anthem got bigger. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, it was actually extraordinary. And I think that, you know, in many ways, in the same way that, for example, I don't think Donald Trump could have anticipated the backlash that greeted him with the Women's March in January, the day, you know, following his inauguration, I think that he has really proven unable, he's not able to understand that his words, the kind of the effects that his words produce, which are often effects that he doesn't actually want. It was remarkable looking at the photographs on Instagram and on Twitter and, you know, following the news on what was taking place and, you know, seeing entire teams on there, you know, kneeling on the field, coaching staff standing arm in arm behind their players, you know, just like the police imagine themselves as their own kind of special fraternity. Football players imagine themselves, athletes think of themselves as their own special fraternity. And as it turns out, when you mess with one, it, you know, their brothers get really salty about it. And so, you know, I think that in a certain sense, certainly I think that the kind of there is a growing level of support for the kinds of political positions that people like Colin Kaepernick and other athletes have been taking in terms of speaking specifically about the violence of police brutality and the ways that Black people are disproportionately targets of state violence. But I also think that there's another sort of side of it, just watching the press statements that came out from NFL teams and coaching staff, where, you know, the response to the president was one of, hey, our athletes do a lot of good work in the community and they are upstanding members of their community and they have every right to take this position, whether or not we share their position on these issues. We are not going to police the rights of our athletes to express themselves as citizens in whatever way they see fit to do so, provided that they're respectful and nonviolent. And so, you know, I think in a certain way, Donald Trump might have actually played into Colin Kaepernick's hands. You know, what he wanted was to make people talk about this stuff. And that's exactly what happened. And it played out in a way that I think Donald Trump, unfortunately, really could not have predicted.
Mm. Oh, well, Trump's demand for unity seems to have worked. People seem to be uniting against him. Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner, came out. I mean, this is a person who's, you know, he's a corporate spokesperson. He's not one, you know, the NFL is a sponsor of the U.S. military. He is not somebody that you would expect to come out against the president, but he put out a statement calling Trump's remarks divisive, showing a lack of respect for the players. And then, of course, Trump hit back saying that Roger Goodell put out a statement to justify the total disrespect certain players show to our country. Tell them to stand! Exclamation point. So he's pissed off the NFL commissioner. Now it's also crossed crossed outside the NFL. You have LeBron James and Stephen Curry, who was basically refusing to go to the White House, and then Donald Trump said, "Well, you're not invited anyway." So in a way, should we congratulate Trump for spreading social awareness to outside the NFL?
Well, you know, I mean, I mean, I think that certainly there were people who were critical of him before who maybe might have, out of respect for the office and in an attempt to maintain the peace, kept their beliefs to themselves. But at the point when he began to, I think, attack athletes, sort of, you know, make these blanket attacks on athletes who were doing these protests, I think that he really poked a hornet's nest that he was not aware of. I mean, even Tom Brady, for example, Tom Brady is nobody's like radical athlete, right? Even Tom Brady, who considers himself, has said in public that he considers himself to be a friend of the president, on his Instagram, you know, and in his Twitter feed, was very clear that he did not agree with the president's statements. And this is very similar to what we saw happening in the wake of Charlottesville, where people, even conservatives, moved very quickly to distance themselves from a president who seems unable to, he just does not have his finger on the pulse of where the country is. He's not able to say the things that need to be said. I mean, if you can't condemn Nazis, I don't really know. That's like the baseline of politics, like right. Nazis are bad. And he couldn't get his head around that. And this is another moment where I think he was really tone deaf in terms of reading where most people in the culture are. And the truth is that people are very hostile to this idea that these athletes need to be punished in that, you know, and that they don't have the right to speak. Even the people who are not all that radical don't agree with that political position. So again, I think that Donald Trump, you know, just like in a pattern that I think we're seeing playing out with his administration, he comes out and says things with the intention of connecting with his base, inflaming their anger, and using that as a source of support to, you know, try to say that he has some kind of large moral mandate from the country to do the things that he's doing. And in fact, it blows up in his face. And the backlash from his comments is overwhelming.
And I'm wondering, I haven't really sort of seen any fellow Republicans stand up and speak out against his behavior. So in a way, the silence of the Republican Party as a whole also speaks volumes. Every time they're silent when Trump does something disparaging and disrespectful to our Constitution. If you're talking about disrespect, right? I think we should be talking about that. And the silence of Republicans basically shows their complicity with it. Well, Courtney, we love having you on. We'll have you back on again very soon, I hope, in the future. Thanks so much for joining us.
No problem, Sonali. My pleasure.
My guest is Courtney Morris, Assistant Professor of African American and Women's Studies at Penn State University and a news correspondent for our program. We've been discussing the national anthem protests. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.